T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Billy P is in a building with you for one more hour on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Always love working the holidays. It gives me an opportunity to reunite with my main man, Cajun Bo, Bo Johnson. What'd you get for Christmas, Bo?
Well, not a whole lot. I got to have breakfast with my middle and youngest daughter this morning, and that was pretty
that's
awesome.
Nice. Yeah. That's very nice.
Yeah, me and my girlfriend are exchanging cards. You know.
Oh, very nice. Are we not at that level yet? Is that why?
Oh, no. It's just, you know, I chose to put all of my available assets towards my kids.
That's good.
You know,
that's
so nice. They got a lot of stuff. I don't really have a lot of stuff that I need. I'm going to go home tonight and check out Wonder Woman 84 on HBO Max. It's going to be awesome.
Very nice.
Yeah.
I know Hugh Douglas was watching it earlier. The early returns from his live tweeting of it, he was not a fan of the early returns on it. So,
well, you know.
Not saying that you might not like it. I'm just, you know. I know he was a hard marker. That's the only thing I know about him, is that he has what I would call impossible to meet movie standards. I feel bad. I did not mean to sully your hometown. It's just, this is the problem. Your hometown is Shreveport, Louisiana. So, like, I have to explain this again, because for those of you who might be listening, we just had Kelly Kroll on. Kelly and I went to Mizzou around the same time. She was a couple of years ahead of me. So that's why we always kind of always try to get a Mizzou reference in whenever we're talking. And it was my freshman year. It would have been her junior year, I believe. Mizzou played in the Independence Bowls. First time I thought that I was ever going to go to a bowl. I wasn't really a big college football fan growing up, and so I went all in with them when I got there. And I thought going to a bowl game was pretty darn cool. And, you know, the Independence Bowl is basically the only thing that's there in Shreveport other than the two casinos and the splashdown water park and all that. So we flew down to Dallas, and we're going to drive over. That stretch of I-20, the same I-20 that goes through Atlanta, mind you, between Dallas and Shreveport is the most boring stretch of road ever.
All 3 hours of it. Yep.
So bad. The only stretch of road that is more boring happens to be in our state, because when I went to go check out Georgia, we were staying with family in Hilton Head at the time over the summer, and we ended up going from there up to Athens to visit UGA. When I was looking at colleges, I was looking at UGA as well to go to Grady, and I-16, man, there is nothing on that road, man. Absolutely nothing. The one that goes all the way up to Macon, awful, awful stretch of highway. I apologize if I'm offending your home place and hometown.
No, man. Look, I'm born and raised from there. There are 6 casinos now, but there's 4.
There
of them,
are
4 of them are in Bossier City.
You're not telling
me anything that I don't already know, brother. I was raised there, so it's all good.
I went there actually once, dragged, kicking and screaming, without going to the bowl, many years later. And let me tell you, my opinions of the town changed after I could go to the casinos, because I was not of age to go to the casinos at that point. So, but even at the same time, like, they get excited for that bowl game now. They're not playing it this year, unfortunately, which makes unofficial mayor of Shreveport, Tim Brando, and college football extraordinaire aficionado,
right.
Tim Brando, very unhappy. I thought about calling him today, because he's good for 15 minutes on a day like today. I tell you what, when it comes to talking college football and anything else going on across the landscape of the sports world, it's time for our, what is usually the 5 o'clock Falcons report, but will actually be 3 o'clock. And, of course, they usually do the NFL Blitz here in this segment, too, as well on Dukes and Bell. And when they do that, it's brought to you by the folks at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Falcons and Chiefs this weekend, Sunday, 1 o'clock. The coverage begins 9 a.m. Myself and the aforementioned Hugh Douglas will be on for the Wade Ford tailgate show. Then we'll give way to Chris Goforth, Harry Douglas, West Durham, Dave Archer. They will have the call from the Bens, but the game will be at Arrowhead Stadium in KC against the defending champs. Thing that's a key for this game for Kansas City is how they will go and move beyond Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who suffered a horrific injury that took place late in their victory over the New Orleans Saints last week. We'll see how Le'Veon Bell ends up carrying the rest of the load and kind of how the Falcons are going to pick their poison with still the plethora of options that KC has to offer. Spent a lot of time this week on 92.9 The Game, and particularly on Dukes and Bell, talking about the GM opening for the Atlanta Falcons. They're around basically down to their kind of final 5 to 7 that they're going to vet and actually go in and potentially interview face-to-face. We should get an update here once the regular season actually ends. You'll get a chance to actually see more of these interviews actually take place. I wouldn't think that we are beyond first weekend of the postseason before we have a GM in place, because I think that job is going to be filled first before the head coaching vacancy. One thing that we were talking about when Rich McKay joined us on Dukes and Bell earlier this week here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is basically whether or not if they look for a scout or an executive, and also whether or not Matt and Julio's future factors into the search. Here's Rich McKay talking about Matt and Julio, how the new GM will have to have a plan for both when he comes in here and interviews for the job with both Rich McKay and Arthur Blank.
It does factor in, because that gets to the vision of the football team, you know, and that football team includes a lot of good players. You know, when you look at our team and you say, you know, our top 10, top 11, you know, eat up a really big portion of our cap, because, you know, a lot of them are very good football players, but you got to have a vision of how those players are going to fit in the future. And you got to be able to articulate why, not just, you know, your vision, but why, and how is that going to get us to the place we want to be, which is being a team that wins on a consistent basis and is competing late into the season and into the playoffs. And so I think that when you deal with players that are as good as Julio is and as good as Matt is and as good as they've been, then their vision for those players does matter.
Rich McKay joining us, the Falcons president here on Dukes and Bell earlier this week on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I mentioned his thoughts on what needs to happen as far as who they will hire. Do they hire somebody more in a player development realm or somebody who actually has experience as a GM? I'd prefer actually somebody who's on the come. Some other people have preferred somebody with experience, but one thing that is important, Rich McKay says, it's not to get pigeonholed into one or the other.
I don't think you should get yourself in either camp. I think that it depends on the individual. When we did this before in 2008, we interviewed, we probably interviewed 6 people, maybe 7. And a couple of them were former GMs, and the majority, I just would say more than half, were going to be newcomers. And we hired Thomas, who was obviously a newcomer. And, you know, we hired Thomas, and for 12 years, you know, we had a lot of success with him. So I don't think you get caught up one way or another. I think what you want to hear is you want to hear from them an articulation of their vision for our football team, of what they think of the football team, of what they think about the plan, and also hear them talk about coaches. And because there is something to the idea that you have to understand the relationship that's going to be created between the coach and the GM, because it's a very important relationship. Those are the two people that are going to make all the decisions in your organization, on your football team. You know, Arthur and myself, we can go to those summary meetings that we go to right before the draft, or the summary meetings we go to right before free agency, but we don't sit in the draft room when they set the board or sit in the free agency room when they set free agency. So those two individuals make those decisions. So you need to make sure that that's going to fit. But I don't think you go in with the idea that, boy, we got to have somebody that did this before, or boy, we want somebody that hasn't done it before. I think you go to the idea, just tell us your vision for our team. Tell us why that vision, and then figure out, are they going to fit?
That's Rich McKay again earlier this week on Dukes and Bell with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That full interview is online at radio.com. Two important things from that. Number one, I'm wondering if they go the George Costanza approach and go with the exact opposite of what Thomas Dimitroff was. I think that's why a lot of the chatter surrounds Rick Smith, a GM with experience, with a franchise, a GM who's taken a team to the postseason. And again, he's not only interviewed with the Falcons, he's interviewed with a couple of other teams, including the Detroit Lions, I do believe, who have an open GM as well after jettisoning both Matt Patricia and their GM, Bob Quinn, earlier in this season. So if you look at the scenarios for Smith, I'm wondering if this cycle goes through, and again, we're seeing a couple more GM jobs open up, I'm wondering if the pool of candidates right now is more impressive to where teams Well, Phil, like, if you're kind of feeling iffy one way or the other about your GM, you might just go ahead and pull the trigger. That might be what happened with Carolina, although from what people are telling us, at least on the inside there, that was more the situation where it was they kind of wanted to move on from him last year. They just weren't sure they'd be able to bring in a first-time head coach in Matt Rhule. But the important thing is possibly going with the opposite. And two, Rich McKay's role. There's been a lot of talk from Falcon fans that believe, and also I would say some negative recruiting being done by teams out there that believe that Rich McKay is a detriment to this job because he could cast a very wide shadow. Rich McKay said in another interview earlier this week, I can't remember if it was with Jeff Schultz or with D-Led of the AJC, that he has not been in a draft room for the Falcons since 2007. So for those of you who think that Rich McKay is going to usurp or suck out any type of power from the GM or head coach when it comes to building this roster, listen, they're there as a sounding board, he and Arthur. They're there as a support system. And as Andrew Brandt told us yesterday, the right candidate looks at Rich McKay as an asset, somebody who has connections in the league, who can get anybody on the phone from the league, and also anybody from any of the other 31 teams in the league. If you need to make a deal, if you need to make some sort of move happen, use that guy as a resource. Don't look at him as a detriment. I feel like that gives the Falcons something that's more of an ace in the hole as opposed to somebody who could weigh you down for that new GM job. 404-741-0929. Willie P is in the building on Sports Radio 99 The Game on this Christmas Day. We'll get back into the Hawks here coming up. Was the opening night victory over the Chicago Bulls a harbinger of things to come or a one-night outlier? I'll explain to you why it might be more the former instead of the latter when we come back on this Christmas Day. Willie P here with you on Sports Radio 99 The Game and Radio.com. I would laugh.
Merry, 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 merry Christmas, baby.
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game on this Christmas Day. Willie P here with you. Hope you're enjoying yourself. I'll be back again tomorrow, noon until 4:30. We'll take you all the way up until Hawks and Memphis tomorrow night. Also, some football tomorrow, football today. We got football coming up on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game, Vikings and Saints. That is a 4 p.m. first pitch, 4 p.m. pregame start. Opening whistle comes a little bit after 4:30 on that one. I believe that is a Fox game. Correct me if I'm wrong, Bo Johnson.
That is correct.
It is a Fox game, so we'll be able to watch that on regular TV again. There's one game tomorrow, and I believe it's the Arizona game, that will not be on regular TV. It's going to be on Amazon Prime Video exclusively. They used to do that with the London games, and I feel like they threw Amazon a bone there with this year not having any London games. So they will instead play one of the penultimate Saturday contests on Amazon Prime Video. Two games also on NFL Network on Saturday as well, part of their usual Saturday afternoon and evening packages. And of course, the full slate of games on Sunday as well. Falcons and Chiefs, we'll get into that a little bit more in our final segment. Do a little bit more on the game itself as opposed to some of the other questions that we've been talking about in terms of the Falcons' open GM and head coach jobs. It was very easy on Wednesday night to get incredibly enthralled and almost lust-worthy with regards to the way that the Hawks looked against the Chicago Bulls. I'm not going to sit here and try and tell you the Bulls are a juggernaut by any means, so don't sit here and tell me that this is a game that you look at and you say, oh my goodness, we have so many other things to look at this and say that, wow, you take this and have a completely season-long range view of it. I think the fact that they've only played one game to this point of the season gives you reason to try and overreact and overanalyze the fact that you had one game, 2 days off, and then again are going to play on Saturday against Memphis. You wonder what it looks like, especially when you think about in the preseason. Look, and I know we probably overanalyze the preseason more this year than we do in recent years, maybe put a little bit too much weight on it because it was the only sampling we got of this Hawks team since they shut down for the pandemic in March. I mean, that's the part of it that I look at and I say is that we kind of had to take the preseason with a grain of salt, because too much of what I think we were told and fed about this is that this was going to look like an incredibly different squad, and we saw a little bit of the same, unfortunately, with the four preseason games. And then, of course, last night or two nights ago was incredibly eye-opening from a great perspective. Just an amazing performance from Trae Young, where he scores 36 on just 12 shots. Also was able to dish out 7 assists, grab 6 rebounds, and really have one of the more efficient nights in the history of the NBA. And you also saw that trickle down to the rest of the team. Like, and that's the other part of this that I find interesting, too, is that while you have all these weapons, on a night like two nights ago, you don't need like a 40-point night from one guy. You can get a 30.5-point night from one guy and then a bunch of 15 to 20-point nights from other guys, and that's how you get to a total of 124. And you don't need John Collins to try to go out and get you 30 and 10 instead of his 20 and 10. It really just takes a lot of the pressure off, and also it makes the minutes these guys are playing incredibly competitive. And one thing John Collins says is that it was very easy to be encouraged by what you saw on opening night Wednesday in Chicago.
I'd say it's definitely one of the best games or opening games that I've had. I feel like we came out with enough intensity and energy. I feel like the preseason games helped us. We played two tough teams in Orlando and in Memphis. We play again, so I feel like it woke us up a little bit. And Ice came to play today, and we rode the wave. We played well, and we win.
Again, Ice talking about Trae Young, talking about him coming to play, and really the Hawks as a whole coming to play. Hawks opening night franchise record of 42 first quarter points, 83 in the first half, record for any game, and also points through three quarters in an opening night with 111. That was the most they'd scored in any opening night in Atlanta franchise history. And all without Capella, Rondo, Snell, Dunn, and first-round pick Onyeka Okongwu, who was supposed to add a presence on the inside. I believe also that you did see a window into the fact that when they're playing a team that does not have a big veteran or even imposing presence at a center position, that's something that's going to be an incredible advantage when you have Capella, is that there are very few people who can match up pound for pound with Capella. They didn't have him the other night, but imagine what it would have been like if you had Capella on the floor. It would have been even more lopsided than it really was. Of course, the main focus point was Trae Young, that 36-point effort in just 12 shots, and also the best night of somebody with that few minutes in the history of the National Basketball Association when it comes to the stats that he put up. And one thing that Lloyd Pierce said, it looked like not only was Trae having fun, but he was playing free.
I thought it was the most fun I've seen him have on the court with the group of guys. And that's why I mentioned the point of him not getting the rebound. He just took off and ran. And there's an area of trust. There's an area of joy. I thought he was balanced. I thought he led us. I thought he was aggressive. And I thought he was getting off the basketball quick. And then I thought he was running his lanes as we need all our guys to do. But I think he really enjoyed the game.
37 points, 7 assists, and 6 rebounds for Trae in a 124-104 win over the Chicago Bulls. Here is the aforementioned Ice Trae.
I think it's just our spacing. I think the way we spaced, it opened up a lot of driving lanes and gaps to the rim for either shots at the rim, or if they held, we had shooters open and just knocking down shots.
Would have had a better lead in for you there, Poe, but truth be told, I forgot which one I told you to play. So I gave you a more generic intro there for Trae. But yes, talking about that offensive spacing is something that, again, it sounds nerdy on the surface, but in reality, just to put it in the most layman's terms possible, more shooters allows more options for Trae Young. It widens the driving lanes for him, and it also gives him more of an ability to dish the basketball off and be a facilitator. So many times, they didn't have outside shooting ability. Everything had to come from the mid-range. So when you saw Trae go into the lane and hit that forced runner, or try to hit that forced runner, there were defenders all around the lane. And it was so contested that a lot of times it went out, and we even saw Trae try to force that runner in the lane. And I'm wondering if Lloyd Pierce told him, look, take that shot out of your arsenal. You do not need that anymore. You can take actual three-point shots that come in the rhythm of the offense. You can actually pass the ball off to an open shot for somebody who's going to drain one down. And I felt like Trey felt really tight in the four preseason games because I feel like he just needed to get used to not only playing with these particular players, but playing for the first time with actual offensive threats in their games. And this stretch, too, it's going to offer different levels of a degree of difficulty because you have Memphis coming in on Saturday, a team you saw twice in the preseason. And in both games, I feel like you got very uneven performances. I'm very curious to see how much differently it looks against Memphis tomorrow than it did from the preseason. But then you play Detroit, who I feel like should be a victory. Again, I don't want to keep counting wins here. But then you get your first instance of playing two games in a row against an opponent. You're going to play two straight games in basically what amounts as a back-to-back in Brooklyn on Wednesday the 30th and then Friday, January the 1st, a week from today. And then you come home for a three-game stretch against Cleveland, New York, and Charlotte with a return engagement in Charlotte against the Hornets on Saturday the 9th. We'll know a heck of a lot about this Atlanta Hawks team by the time we get to 2 weeks from Saturday, because that will have been 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 games of 72. And that basically encompasses a pretty big chunk of your schedule. That's a ninth of your schedule. So to me, that sample size will give me a better idea about where this team is. If in that 9-game stretch you go, let's say 6-3, 5-4. I'm feeling pretty darn good. You split the Brooklyn games. Maybe you sweep Charlotte. Drop one to one of those teams, maybe Memphis. I feel like you could even go better than that. If what we saw last night is an indicator and a harbinger, it could just mean the Bulls are so bad that you could do basically whatever you wanted to. I do have some concerns about what we saw on defense because there was some slippage in that second half. I felt like you had the ability to really leave that game and put it away. I really feel like that team kind of took its foot off the gas, especially in the fourth quarter. The fourth quarter was a lot closer, again, because of the fact that the scrub guys were in there off the end of the bench. We didn't see guys in the fourth quarter for the most part. But to me, I feel like you can take a lot from that performance, especially from the fact that you did not have your full complement of guys going into that game against Chicago. Here is Lloyd Pierce talking about what they will see with the Grizzlies tomorrow night in Memphis.
Memphis is Memphis. You know you're going to be in a dogfight with Memphis. You know you're going to play off of Ja's swagger and the confidence of those guys and the connectivity of those guys. They have a grit about them when they play. They've been tremendous in their ball movement. And obviously, you know, they're a team that's playing with the chip on their shoulder all the time. And so we got to bring the fight to them, and we have to figure out what the fight is from a game plan standpoint.
Mention that first stretch of 9 games. The 10th game for them is Monday, January 11th, and that's against Philadelphia. And I also wonder how much of the real test will come with that, because that's a team that, despite our ills the last couple of years, we've been able to handle. And getting Capella in there against Embiid, I feel like, too, you don't really talk about center versus center matchups in the NBA. That's very 80s and 90s NBA. But I do feel like seeing those two go head-to-head in the same conference for a couple of games and seeing the kind of, I don't want to use the word rivalry because they don't play in the same division, but the fact that they play on the same side of the conferences and the fact that you've seen them play some games that we've actually had some success in against, especially last year, I think is going to be a wonder to watch when it comes to that contest. We'll already have 9 under our belt and might even have some winning ways to go about it and some mojo going forward. But I'm looking forward to seeing what we are tonight. That actually has been picked up by the folks on NBA TV. So if you're listening to us out of market, you might be able to pick it up on NBA TV. If not, you can listen to it right here on 99 The Game. Watch it on Fox Sports Southeast. Bob, Neek, and Kelly on the call coming up tomorrow at 5. Our pregame tomorrow at 4:30. When I get done with you tomorrow. When I get done with you today, we have NFL football, which we'll talk about here coming up. And also, we will put a bow on our short edition of the Willie P. Experience on the Christmas Day. Sports Radio 989 The Game, radio.com.
You know Dasher and Dancer, Prancer and Vixen, Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen. But do you recall, what's that? The most famous reindeer of all. Come on! Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
So Bo comes in my ear and says, you ready to hear the best Christmas song you've heard? My man X. Gotta love it. Oh, that's good.
There it is right there.
That's very good. So we were talking about this. I got a lot of crap from people because of my take that Home Alone 2 is better than Home Alone 1, which I mean, I hate to tell you people, and even Carl got on me for my reasoning behind it, because the plausibility factor of a kid getting lost in the airport, I think it's a lot easier to figure that out and say that than the kids just getting left home alone. Like that to me, the plausibility factor of that, to me, it just goes beyond my realm of whimsy and fantasy. I'm sorry. And number two, much rather be looking at awesome Christmas stuff. There's something about Christmas in New York or just Christmas decorations in a big city, like going to the Botanical Gardens later on in Atlanta. That's what we're going to do over the weekend. We're very much looking forward to that. Christmas in a big city, it's a lot better than Christmas in suburban Chicago. I'm just saying that. And also, what he puts Marv and Harry through into is a bigger gauntlet, I think, of stuff. And I also feel like it's more impressive doing it. You know, that's a road game for Kevin. Kevin won a playoff game on the road, is what he did. As far as having them come into his house and do the stuff inside his own house, Kevin went on the road and won a playoff game, is what he basically did. That's why I like Home Alone 2 better than Home Alone. Also, I found this out this morning. Julianne has never seen Die Hard. So that's changing today. That is changing today. Absolutely. And yes, it is a Christmas movie. Just saying it. I know that people are very adamant that it isn't, but it is. Also, Lethal Weapon, Christmas movie as well. We were talking about that also earlier in the week. We did that as part of the game winner. I did want to give a shout out to some people who had recognized me and said some stuff to me on social media and the text line. My dude, Stan Ozuna, the guy who's the Marcel Ozuna Stan account, he said something to me the other day, which I found awesome, and thank you as well. My dude, Gentle Tone, who hit me up earlier as well, he hits up a lot of our guests as well. Bob Trice, who tweets a lot of stuff. He's a Mizzou guy as well. M-I-Z to you, Bob. Thank you so much. And happy holidays to you. Jay in the truck. Kevin Featherston. These are a lot of people who just comment on a lot of our stuff. Matt Neesmith, Zach Duncan, Danny Musgrove, Brian Harper, Ty Jones, Don Richardson, Justin Dogfan, 1981. Also a lot of these other guys, Preacher Man Todd, Eric Jernigan, just so many people. We appreciate all of you. If I read out all of them, I'd be sitting here for an entire segment just reading off names. But thank you to all those who've commented, liked, tweeted, or have been a part of the extended 92.9 The Game listener family. This is a greater listener family than I've been around any place else that I've been in the radio business. You guys not only care about your teams, you care about this station, care about the product, and that's part of the reason why I think the management here likes to be live and local as much as possible, because they know and they understand and recognize how important it is to keep that local connection with our teams and with our listenership, and we couldn't be more proud to be bringing you live and local programming here with you on Christmas Day, and also we will be doing the same thing for you on New Year's Day as well. I'll be back here with Nick Kale a week from now when we do a New Year's Day show together from 2 until 7 here on Sports Radio 929 The Game, and of course during that part of the proceedings, we'll have the college football playoff to look forward to. Bama and Notre Dame, Clemson and Ohio State. Look, I'm looking at that, and I'm looking at it, and I'm seeing the possible remnants of another Bama Clemson matchup. I know it's not something people want to hear, but not a believer in Ohio State, not a believer in Notre Dame. I feel like that game against Clemson in the ACC championship was eye opening. For both Clemson and Notre Dame, I felt like a lot of the strengths that Notre Dame had been talked about having kind of went by the wayside in that contest. And so because of that, I feel like any of the strengths you might have thought they have going into a game against Alabama to try and get a puncher's chance in. The fact that they had that kind of showing against Clemson gives me very little hope against this Bama team that it seems like we say this here once every third or fourth year, this might be the best offense they've had in their arsenal ever. I think that Mac Jones throws the deep ball better than Tua does. I also feel like since Jalen Waddle has not been on this team, you've seen the increase in performance from guys like Devontae Smith and some of the other ancillary parts of the Bama offense, and that showed me more from Mac Jones than I think you saw from Tua. My knock on Tua was always he's never going to have the kind of weapons at Alabama. Once he gets to the end of the NFL, he will not have the same kind of weapons in the NFL that he had at Bama relative to its peers. And so I feel like Mac Jones has shown you more with less than Tua did. And that while that might sound unfair to Tua, it just is the way that it's gone about. And I'm very curious to see how the Heisman vote stacks up. How many of those votes, too, will be split? We did get the finalists last night. Again, it's Mac, Devontae, as well as Kyle Trask and Trevor Lawrence. They're four finalists. I know that they give out more Heisman votes than candy on Halloween, but to me, if I had a vote, I'd still give it to Trevor Lawrence. I know that you're not supposed to make it a lifetime achievement award, but I feel like for that young man to go through the career that he's gone through at Clemson, where he's only lost once, he has only lost once. The other loss you could credit to DJ Uiagalelei, but the fact that you have that kid who's only lost once and put forth the kind of numbers that he has, basically never playing a competitive fourth quarter in his life outside of the game against LSU, is nothing short of marvelous and remarkable. So to me, I feel like him going through a career without a Heisman Trophy, I feel like would be a disservice to him for somebody who, again, should be the consensus number one overall pick in the 2021 NFL draft. Guy on the 404 says, just make sure you stop after Die Hard because every sequel was garbage. Absolutely. And he said, so you have a plot hole issue with the premise, but not the fact that the burglars are out of prison and have somehow tracked him down to another city. Yes, I do have issues with plot holes in both those movies. There's plot hole issues in both movies, in Home Alone 1 and Home Alone 2, for my guy in the 404. That's also a guy. I feel like there's nobody on this text line who's more critical of me than this particular guy who usually tweets in and calls in and says that Willie P is kind of a jerk and an idiot. But you know what? Merry Christmas to you as well, sir. I appreciate always the feedback. I feel like guys like that make me a better radio host. Texter from the 619 talking about our Falcons. We were talking a lot earlier about the direction and the forward-thinking nature of this team going forward. He says, I'm excited about this game, and I'm excited also for the potential of what our Falcons could become. You might get a window into the future if Eric Bieniemy is the choice for the Falcons here going forward. He believes we're not that far away, but certain changes are necessary to move forward. It'll be a new vision and a new visionary that comes to our Falcons. That's a texter from the 619, so from the San Diego area. All the reason I know that is because of Rey Mysterio. So appreciate the text, and also Merry Christmas to you and yours, sir, as well, here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Look, I don't really have a lot of hopes for Sunday, if we're being 100% completely honest with you. I do feel like the Falcons won't get run out of the building, which I think is an encouraging thing for them, but I also feel like it's going to be very, very difficult to be competitive in the fourth quarter with this team, unless you have Kansas City play some of the games they've played over the course of the last couple, where they just kind of get bored in the third quarter and don't really give you their full effort and full attention in a game that is a couple of days after Christmas Day inside their home stadium with really not much other than the opening bye to play for in the National Football League's final 2 weeks. A lot of games today on the NBA slate as well. We will have the 8 p.m. matchup, which I feel like is kind of the statement game of the day, Luka and the Mavs against LeBron and the Lakers. Look, I am in the wrong city to be a Luka stan. I love Luka Doncic. I will confess that to you. I feel like I'm allowed to love Trey and Luka equally. I feel like we got that question a lot when it came to certain things growing up in the 90s. I know every girl I ever dated told me that you couldn't like NSYNC and the Backstreet Boys. both. You had to pick one or the other. We as guys had the same kind of thing, Star Wars or Star Trek. I was a Wars guy. I know a lot of Trekkies, and sorry for you. Even though you grow up and watch and kneel and genuflect at the altar of William Shatner when you wake up in the morning. Although I love William Shatner in Boston Legal, but I digress. I do feel like it's possible to like both Luka and Trey for the different traits that they bring. Luka had 32 in his season debut, a loss for the Mavericks. Lakers looked somewhat disjointed. Montrezl Harrell's a big addition for them, but it was hard to see them put it all together, even though they are one of the teams that many thought outside of us still made the most additions. And, of course, that was the team that won the NBA Finals last year. So the fact that that team even got better over the course of season to season is something to marvel at. But I do wonder what the fit looks like and how long it takes for everything to get in. I think you're going to see, for some of these teams that play deep into the bubble, you are going to see some, I don't want to say rustiness because that's not the right word, but you are going to see some raggedy play. And I do wonder what it looks like for some of these teams. I know the Heat lost their opening game. They came back, beat the Pelicans today on a pretty quick turnaround, 111-98. So congratulations to Miami, who's gotten themselves in the win column. Bucks up 66-56 at the half. Both of those teams, by the way, lost their opening contests with the Bucks dropping one to the Celtics by one at the buzzer thanks to a missed free throw by Giannis, and the Warriors getting blown out in Brooklyn in their opening contest. So both of those teams looking for their first win of the season. I do feel like some of these teams that played late into the bubble, like Milwaukee, like Miami, like the Lakers and Clippers, I think it's going to be raggedy for them at the start. And I'm wondering if the freshness for a team like the Hawks could make them get on a little bit of a run here at the beginning of the year, because they basically had what amounted to only about a couple of months of layoff before they got themselves back into playing games. And I'm wondering, I think we all thought that maybe the freshness of that might actually help those teams. I'm wondering if it's going to have the reverse effect. I'm wondering if it's going to be hard to get it back up and going for teams like the Bucks, Heat, Lakers, Warriors, etc., and so on. Raptors as well, team that played late in the bubble as well in Orlando. But I'm excited to see what it means for our Hawks. Coming up on Saturday, they take on the Memphis Grizzlies. That is my time for today. We will now take you to Vikings and Saints on NFL on Westwood One. I'll be back with you coming up at noon on Saturday for a 4.5-hour sit-down with you. We'll do Hawks, we'll do Falcons, we'll do some college football playoff, we'll do some more Georgia as well as they get ready for the Peach Bowl against Cincinnati. Merry Christmas to Bo Johnson and to you and yours. And thank you so much for listening to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays. Thanks, buddy.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.